Possibly, yeah, yeah. I think you'll be able to find those connection points. If you've not yet heard the sermon this morning, I think it'll help to fortify some of the things that we're talking about. So it's just awesome as we're in the study that we're in Acts right now, where Paul is several times standing in defense of his ministry and of his faith and how he does that spiritually and practically. There's just so many anchor points for us that we can grab onto that'll help us out in our life. But last week, if you remember, we talked about connecting with the commission. You're not going to be consistent in your witness if you don't, first of all, see Jesus for who he is, see the lost for who they are, and then see the command for what it is. Because we're all commanded to be part of this commission. And I think where we struggle is struggling to know how to connect with the commission. And a lot of times we get busy and sidetracked and maybe even discouraged, maybe fearful. And all of those things can put us off of seeing the commission for what it really is. So that's what we went over last week. And we dealt with the commission and the foundation for our witness. This week, we're going to talk about connecting with the cultivation. Because in Scripture, our sharing our faith, or us working in the kingdom of God, us making Christ know, is often likened to a farmer in a field planting seed. And so there is, while God is sovereign over all things and while God organizes and orchestrates the things that come together to provide for salvation, we have a responsibility in the process of first going in the commission and then knowing how we're going, knowing what role we're playing, knowing how we're part of this cultivating process that the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God want to do through us. God has called men to work with men. That was never more seen than when God became a man, took on human flesh, and then paid the price for our sins. God has called men to minister to men. And so we then need to understand our role in what we're cultivating around us. So let me ask you this question. Do you view your life like you're a farmer for Jesus? I mean, most of us view our life like we're a grocery shopper for Jesus. Somebody else has done the farming, and we're just going through the aisles, picking out all our blessings. But that's not really our calling. Our calling is to be out in those fields of harvest. And so we're going to talk about that whole process, that cultivating process, because this is going to be key for you being able to be a consistent witness in your life. What are you doing to cultivate the areas and arenas and relationships and opportunities around you in the Spirit of God so that you can constantly be planting seed and constantly watering seed so that God can give an increase in your life? So those are the things we're going to talk about today. Now, before we do, let's pray and let's ask the Holy Spirit of God to help us as we study His Word together this morning. Heavenly Father God, we are so thankful, first of all, for Your calling in our life, that You've even seen fit to bring us into this wonderful commission of sharing the gospel, planting the gospel seeds for Your kingdom. Lord, help us to see You for who You are. Help us to see the lost for who they are. And help us, Lord, to see Your work in our life, Your sustaining work in our life, so that we will be faithful in being part of the Great Commission. And Lord, today help us to learn how we're practically a part of that, what we can do, the responsibility we have in cultivating the areas around us for Your honor and for Your glory. So Lord, meet with us this morning, guide us according to Your truth, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again this morning, we're considering cultivating, connecting with cultivation. What does this have to do with our role in the Great Commission and sharing our faith? Well, first I want us to see this. I want us to see that we need to be cultivating personal opportunities. We need to be cultivating personal opportunities. God saved each and every one of you on purpose if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He knew who you were. He knew how He outfitted you. He knew the plans He already had for you. By the way, how many think we've got a great God that can know all that stuff? And He has a plan for you after salvation to connect with according to this work of sharing your faith. In fact, it's not on the screen, but would you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 2? Ephesians chapter number 2. And we'll begin reading with verse number 8. Verses 8 and 9 we know really well. And then verse number 10, I really want to key in on. So notice with me beginning in verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So that's salvation. It is by grace, through faith, a gift of God alone. Now, this is after salvation. Notice with me verse number 10. "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus." That's what happens at salvation. We're recreated. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So what's new? Well, we'll notice this. "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto" what? "Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So God has a plan for you in salvation, not just to save you, but to commission you. You are now a bearer of his work. What was his primary work? "I have come to seek and to save that which is lost." The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So that was his role. That was his calling. That was his commission. And his commission becomes our commission. "As the Father sent the Son, so send I you." So now we're connected with that commission. And that commission is cultivating this work that God has planned for us before the foundation of the world. So, he knew who you are. He knew who you would be. He knew your talents. He knew your gifts. He knew your abilities. He knew your neighborhood you would live in. You think, "No, I'm the one who got my house. I got the job. I got the education. I got the money. I pay my mortgage. My house. I bought..." No, God orchestrated all of that in your life. So that means he put you where he wanted you. You have the neighbors you have for a reason. You have the coworkers you have for a reason. You have the positions of influence you have for a reason. You have the spheres of influence that you have for a reason. And we have to bring our calling into those things. That's how we cultivate personal opportunities. Our friends, our neighbors, our family members, our coworkers, the people that we do life with, God knew that we would be around those people, and so he has us there to cultivate those personal opportunities. Now, we're going to rehearse, first of all, in this cultivating personal opportunities, an account where Jesus had a very personal interaction with a woman at the well. Now, in our passage this morning, we're not going to talk about that specific interaction. I'm saving that for when we start formulating how we speak to people and what we say to people, and how we position the gospel to people. That'll be next week. But right now, we're cultivating these opportunities. And I want us to see what's necessary in our life in order to cultivate these opportunities. So you may be familiar with the woman at the well account in John 4. You may not be, but I'll catch you up to speed. Jesus was removing himself from a place of ministry where he was being attacked by the Pharisees. And God, the Spirit, led him. It says this in John 4 at the beginning. Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria," which was not the common track that Jews would take in order to get to where they were going because they didn't like the Samaritans. But the Spirit of God was leading the Son of God through Samaria because there was a divine personal appointment that was set up for the Son with this woman at the well. The woman comes in the afternoon. She comes because she's not well liked by the other ladies. She doesn't want to be around the other ladies. Most of the other ladies come in the morning in the cool of the day. She comes in the afternoon so she doesn't have to be around them. Why? Because she doesn't have the greatest life. She's known as a lady who kind of gets around in relationships. She's had, what, 5 husbands, and the one that she's with now is not even her husband. Jesus reveals all this sinfulness to her, reveals himself as the Messiah. Ultimately, she trusts in Jesus, saying, "This is the Messiah," and then she goes and she starts cultivating her own personal space. All right, so I just want you to see the dynamic here. But I want you to see his discussion with the disciples after this because it sets up the heart that we need for cultivating those personal opportunities, for cultivating our woman at the well moments. Because God's going to work with you most powerfully individually with the people who are around you. That's how God tends to work in our field where we're planting, where God has placed us. Okay? So let's look at these scriptures this morning. John chapter 4. We'll begin reading with verse number 31. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to that passage. I'll try to keep up on the screen with them as best as I can as well. Now, this is after the interaction with the the woman at the well. Jesus is now speaking with his disciples. By the way, Jesus was the only one there because his disciples got hungry. They went into town to grab a bite to eat. Burger King was calling. Right? Have you ever smelled those flame-licked burgers, you know, and you're just like, okay, I'm hungry. So the disciples went into town to grab a Whopper. And notice what happened here in verse number 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. We've eaten. What are you doing? Why are you not eating? Why are you sitting here by this well? What's going on? Notice how he answers them. He said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. That's important. That's going to be key in this. You're not going to be the personal cultivator of God's kingdom if you're so overwhelmed with the appetites of your own life. When you can't pull away from the burger to see the person, it's going to be really hard for you to cultivate that personal space. If you're not seeing the people in your life through the eyes of Christ and you only see them through what you can get and what your needs are, you're not going to be a personal cultivator of that space that's around you. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? How are you eating, Jesus? What do you mean you have meat that we know not of? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the what? Oh man, can you grab onto this? This is grabbing onto last week's lesson. What is the will of God? I have commissioned you. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Be a witness. How are we fed spiritually? By engaging in the will of God. To be a person who's connected to this commission, that my life's work is Jesus' life's work. And it is to cultivate that personal space around me so that I can be a witness and testimony to the people that are around me. And this is not easy because we all have our lives. Perhaps you work. And this is what I've come to realize. I talk to people, they're about ready to retire. They say, I can't wait to retire. They retire, and in their retirement, they're working harder than they worked when they worked. Mm-hmm. You know, they're bussing people around, they're visiting the grandkids, they're, you know, doing the odd jobs for the family, they're doing this and that. Some of them say they're going to retire, but then they get drawn back into their workplace again, and they do this and that and the other thing. And listen, there's never going to be a convenient time to make it all about Jesus. So whether you're working or whether you're not working, you should make what you're doing all about Jesus. We don't have to compartmentalize our life like, well, one day when I'm, then I'll be the witness I need to be. One day when I'm not taking the kids everywhere. Maybe the place you're taking the kids is the exact place you're going to meet the lady or the guy that you're going to tell about Jesus. Maybe the interactions that you have that you think are keeping you so busy that you can't have the time to do what Jesus called you to do are the exact areas that Jesus wants you to do what he called you to do. My meat's to do the will of the Father. And whether that's the sustaining meat of me feeding my family or the spiritual meat of me recognizing my calling, both those things can come together in a glorious way where God will meet the need and provide the opportunity. I've seen it time and time again in my own life. I've not always just been a pastor. I've worked in the secular world as well. And where I've been faithful to cultivate that space for God, God has always given fruit. And so I really want you to think about those personal spaces, places that other people might not have the opportunity to influence. The number one personal space you have is the family who's around you. I want you to start thinking about those who are lost that are in your family. And I understand it's hard to be a prophet in your own country. Your family knows you better than anybody else. So you start talking to them and they can bring up stuff from your past and like, well, what about this? And you're old Mr. Holy Roller here. Miss Goody Two Shoes here telling me about church again. Yeah. You know, we did that for 17 years with my mom's parents to much frustration because they hated us talking about Jesus to finally them coming to the saving knowledge of Christ 17 years after my parents were saved and we're talking to them about Jesus. How many understand planting a field can take some time? Watering, sowing that seed can take... This isn't a sprint. Yeah, time is short and there's urgency, but we need to be planting the seed and watering the seed. By the way, we're going to learn here in a moment that that's our responsibility, planting seed and watering seed. We can't do anything else. All we can do is plant seed and water seed, plant seed and water seed, plant seed and water seed. Once we narrow that down, it's like, well, let's just get to planting. I mean, let's just throw some seed out. Let's get that water out there. Let's do what we're supposed to do, because God's always going to do what he's supposed to do. We'll learn those roles here in just a moment. But I want you to get excited about your personal opportunity. I want this to stop being a dreaded thing for you. Like, oh, man, well, we took this class. I guess we're on the hook now to have to try to be a witness somewhere. So, man, who in the world am I going to talk to? Well, start thinking about that. Start thinking about who's in your family that you need to talk to, that you need to start building a relationship with. My wife and her family all grew up in a Christian environment. My dad-in-law who just moved here, deacon in a church, had a bad church experience, got out of church for a while, affected some of the kids. My wife's younger sister, we're not sure if she's saved. We've had some encounters with her spiritually. And yet we've worked to maintain that relationship, even at great sacrifice to sometimes our own feelings about things. And now there's a relationship built again. She's now had children. How many of you know your mind changes and heart changes sometimes when you have children towards things? And now there's conversations that are opening up about spiritual things. My wife is going to take her parents here in August to go visit her. Maybe it's in the fall at some point this year to go visit her. And we're praying the opportunities there open up for gospel conversations. Never give up. This is your area. This is your world. This is where God has planted you. These are your people. They should be foremost on your mind. They should be on your heart. You should never give up. You should keep planting and watering and planting and watering and planting and watering. Because God will at some point give an increase according to his will. So we find here that there's this personal opportunity. This personal opportunity. Notice as we continue, verse 35, we see the harvest aspect of this. John 4, verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. How long have you been putting it off? I'm talking to me here, too. I'm not yelling at you. Move over. Let me sit right next to you. Okay, I'm talking to me. How long are you going to wait to talk to that person? Well, 4 months from now, then maybe God will have done his work. God's doing his work. God's doing his work. And I'm not saying you got to go and make a list and jump down everybody's throat tomorrow. I'm saying you should be actively starting to pursue in your heart and in your mind where God will open up the opportunity, because there's people all around you that need Jesus. All around you that need Jesus. And quit saying 4 months from now, 4 months from now. How many of you understand 4 months turns into 10 years pretty quick? And what we don't do faithfully for God today, don't think you're going to automatically do for God 10 years from now just because you think it's become more convenient. Don't say there are 4 months and then comes harvest. I love this. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. What had Jesus seen that the disciples hadn't seen? He'd seen that personal encounter turn into a town encounter as this woman was now going out and embracing the commission and sharing the gospel, and people seeing her life altered and changed are now receptive. Jesus is saying, guys, while you were at Burger King, some stuff went down. And I'm at work here. And how many of you understand, just because Jesus went up in the air, he didn't stop doing his work. He has his spirit here. His work is all around you. And he's put you where he's put you. He's already cultivated. He's already done work. Plant some seed. Water some seed. I'm just saying, start looking for your personal opportunities. Don't say there's 4 months and then comes harvest. Get active in the process now. They're white already to harvest. I love this. Notice with me, verse number 36. I got to catch up on my screen here. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Isn't that great? What a great work that is. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Now this is all going to connect to our next point, because we're going to see something really neat about our next phase of laboring together. But let's just stick here just for a while. Let me ask you again, start thinking about those personal opportunities. I want, for those of you that work, I want you to think of the people that you interact with most at work and why God's put them in your life. Well, it's because I work there. Well, God gave you that job. God knew you were going to be in that place. What are you doing to cultivate that conversation, to sow a seed, to water that seed? I want you to think about your neighborhood. That's kind of one of the most difficult things for me, is being a consistent witness in my own neighborhood. We televise our services. So it didn't take me long going to the doors around my neighborhood, inviting people to come to church, to say, oh yeah, you're the guy on TV, aren't you? And so there's a different interaction there, because I don't know, it's a little bit different. But that's something I'm very, very convicted about, is continuing to plant that seed and water that seed right there in my own neighborhood. All of our neighbors know who I am. We've invited all of them to come to church. We usually take holiday times to take over cookies or a gift or something. We usually have a gospel tract in there. We invite them to come to church. Kids invite kids to vacation Bible school, all of these types of things. But there's more we could do. We're thinking about having our home opened up now that we've gotten to know some of our close neighbors, invite them over for a dinner, and maybe not even talk about Jesus. I don't know yet. If the opportunity comes up, I'm certainly going to do it. Like, I'm a pastor, so if they ask me, so, you're a pastor, tell me about that. Okay. Tell you some things. But see, it's through, when do we think about these things? When do we think about, how can I have this person over? How can I strategically plant this seed and water this seed to cultivate an opportunity here? So I want you to consider that personal opportunity. It's going to require some sacrifice. You can't just be thinking about your hamburger and your gut and your life and viewing life through your own convenience. You got to step outside of that and see the work that God is doing from time to time. All right. So we have seen cultivating personal opportunities. Now let's look at cultivating partnership opportunities. Cultivating partnership opportunities. If you have your Bible, open your Bible up to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll begin reading with verse number 5. And some of this piggybacks on what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, you're entering into labor where you didn't labor. Some have watered, some have planted, and now you're entering into a harvest. So there's a whole process here of harvesting. How many think it'd be pretty cool if all you ever had to do as a farmer was harvest? I mean, you didn't have to go out, you didn't have to till the ground, you didn't have to water, you didn't have to plant. Just every season at that time, boom, there was stuff there, and you're just rolling through it with your harvester. I think there'd be a whole lot more farmers in the world today. But there is a lot of work that goes into this harvesting process. And so now we have to understand that it takes partnership. God hasn't called you unto yourself to be the Lone Ranger. I teach this in our Starting Point class. I think that's why it's so important that you're part of a body of believers that's serious about giving these partnership opportunities, so that you can be invested and involved in a multi-faceted level of getting the gospel out. Because in my personal sphere, I have very few people I can reach. I have my neighbors. I have my coworkers. Please pray for Marty. I'm working on him. All right. I've got my family. So I'm going to say right now, in my mind, I know that I can be probably personally harvesting, including kind of the sweetheart list that I keep of people that I meet, that I still have their contact information and I talk with them from time to time. I probably have right now 25 people on that list, I would say, if I counted them all up. That's 25 people. It's 25 people that it would be totally worth my time spending the rest of my life planting and sowing if that's all the space that God gave me in my immediate personal sphere of influence. That's great. But we can do so much more than that, especially if we're connected with the body of believers, because now I'm connected to all of your spheres of influence too. Now we can work together through vacation Bible schools and through, I mean, how much easier it is to get a friend to come hear the gospel when you can invite them to something the whole church is doing. And not only that, but we have our foreign missions program where we're supporting missionaries who are planting churches all over the world that we are prayerfully and financially investing in to partner with them. Like Paul said, churches were partnering with him in his church planting ministry. And he says, I don't desire a gift from you for myself, but I desire it for fruit to abound to your account. So what was Paul saying? You're in this in partnership with me. We're doing all this together. We're reaching the world together now. Because now there's partnership in here. So we start to see this role of why it's so important that you don't just go to church and get the buffet line of all the different, you know, felt needs that we want in our own church setting, but we're part of a church that's aggressively desiring to get the gospel out everywhere. Community outreach, global outreach, personal outreach. Those should be focuses of what we're doing. And I believe that Paul highlights this when he highlights his own personal ministry and Apollos' ministry and Peter's ministry and even Jesus' ministry. And notice how he does that in this passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 5, we'll start with verse, or 3, we'll start with verse number 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. So here's partnership. It's not just Paul. There's an Apollos. There's a Peter. That might be in a previous verse. Notice what he says. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So here is that whole form and function of farming for Jesus, right? I don't know. We had the testimony last week, an outreach event from the church, right? That block party that we had there in the center of town. And people came to that, and there's still people we're ministering to from that. But a man in particular came to it, got into a conversation. I forget, Tony, if it was with you first there or some other people. And then people were praying for him, reaching back out to him. He had a hospital incident. Tony visits him in the hospital, gives him the gospel. He trusts Christ as his Savior. His family is in church all this VBS week. He's going to try to be here this Sunday morning. That didn't just happen because Tony was out riding his bike, though it could have. It happened because there were lots of people bringing lots of things together, bringing the resources of God's people together, providing for an outreach event to which people came, to where there's planting and cultivating and watering, and then in God's timing, boom, there's an increase that gets harvested. And Tony got to be there to pray with him, but how many of you understand everybody who prayed and gave and is part of the body that was part of the event has part of the fruit of this person? And that's why Paul says it's not about me. It's not about Apollos. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's not about the other thing. It's about what God is doing through all of us together in partnership. So we have to have this partnership together. As we're connecting with this cultivation, we see that we need to be cultivating partnership opportunities. So I'm looking around, I'm seeing so many people that were part of the VBS. Guess what? Every child that gets saved, every family that starts attending church, every family that's one to Christ. We had a family baptized in our whole family baptized our last baptismal service that started getting introduced to Jesus at last year's Vacation Bible School. We're all a part of that. So this is why it's so important that we are in connection and partnership together as a church and in unity together in this. You're not doing this alone. You're connected with what's going on. And so that's where I would consider you getting involved, particularly in these events. Come to these outreach events. Be part of Vacation Bible School. Be part of Single Moms Oil Change. Be part of our missions conference and missions program. Be part of these ways that we get the gospel out. Now, I'm running out of time, and I think you get the point here. You can read through this. By the way, on your notes, if you grab notes, there's a QR code here at the bottom where you can re-access the audio of these lessons. So you can go back over your notes and kind of rehearse what we've talked about again. Paul goes on here to talk about the process. There's those that plant. There's those that water. None are important. God's the one who gives the increase, but we're all in this together, this partnership. Now, what's not in my notes, what's not in the verses, is the emphasis behind this that I really want to give to you, and I'm just going to step you through it. We don't have time to read through it because I've got more I need to get to. But in your Bibles, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I want you to see this because I think it's so important, and it totally changed my mind about how diligent I need to be in partnershiping in these things. Drop down to verse number 11, okay? Well, let's start at verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. Here's the partnership. We are God's husbandry. You're God's building according to the grace of God, which is given unto men as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. And then verses 11 through 15, I believe, we're in discussion about the judgment seat of Christ. So I want us to understand the implications of this. What prepares us for the judgment seat of Christ? It's how we stewardship the gospel. What prepares us to stand before Jesus to give an account of all of our life's decisions and work since we've been saved? It's how we stewardship the gospel. Because Paul rules right out of this partnership for planting and watering and God giving in the increase to saying, I'm building a building here, and Jesus is the foundation, and the apostles have built on it, and the church is building on it. And now you need to be careful about how you build, because notice this, he says this, verse number 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest for the day, and I believe that's that day of judgment, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed as by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved so as by fire. That's why I believe this isn't the great white throne judgment of condemnation in hell. It's the believer's judgment. It's the bema seat. It's the reward judgment. We should be going to heaven to stand before Jesus expecting a reward, like Paul expected a reward. Paul said this, I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Why could he be so confident in that? Because of the work he did in planting and watering and then harvesting the increase that God gave. I think there are going to be a lot of Christians who kept to themselves, kind of just did their own thing. I've got my own personal relationship with Jesus. I didn't need no church or be involved in anything or serving anywhere. I'm just kind of observing the show. They're going to stand before that judgment seat, and they're not going to have that connection and partnership. They didn't give. They didn't pray. They didn't go. They didn't collaborate. They didn't partner. They didn't connect. They didn't, and the judgment seat is not going to look the same for them. There will be loss that is suffered. I'm glad you can't lose your salvation. How many are glad about that? But there will be loss that suffered. And so we need to be serious about this partnership of sharing our faith, getting the gospel out, making sure that people hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So this morning we've seen in connecting with cultivation, cultivating personal opportunities, cultivating partnership opportunities. Don't just look at the church bulletin and say, eh. You know what, ladies? We've got gyms going on. You know why it's important to be there? Because there are some new ladies that are coming that need to sit around somebody and be discipled. You know why Ironman's important, guys? Because there's some new guys that come there. They're trying to get connection to the church. They need to sit around a table and have those testimonies of discipleship. Again, the events that we have, be part of them. Don't just say, oh, it's cool the church is doing those things. There's something you can do. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you can pray. You can give. You can go and be part of it. But look at those calendars. Oh, well, church got a nice calendar and there's events going on. Where do I see the gospel connection and opportunity here where I can be part of this partnership? So cultivating partnership opportunities. Lastly, and we'll be done, cultivating prayer opportunities. And I didn't leave this last because it's the least important. I left it last because it's the one I want to emphasize the most. Cultivating prayer opportunities. Notice with me as we get into our next passage, and again, the tie-in to this kind of farming process. Here's Jesus again in his earthly ministry, Matthew 9, verse number 36. It says this, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then notice this, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So again, the whole context here is this farming, it's this harvest, it's the kingdom of God, seed has been planted, it's been watered, God's giving an increase, and Jesus is looking out at these multitudes of people, man, it's a lot of work. They're like sheep having no shepherd, and he had compassion on them. That's the first thing. You can tell you have compassion for somebody, not just because you give them a gift or you say some nice word to them. You know how you can tell that you really have compassion for somebody when you take the time to pray for them. Prayer is the hardest thing you're ever going to do. That's why you don't do it. Sorry, I wasn't making accusations. Seriously, though, I mean, I want you to think about how many times the weakest part of our spiritual walk isn't action. We like action. We like, man, I can see this happening and I can do this. It's getting alone in a spiritual context, trusting God implicitly. That's the hardest work you're ever going to do, is that work of faith. That's why prayer does not come naturally to anybody. Because it's all faith. I'm talking to the wind here. No, you're not. You're talking to God. Do you get that? And when you start talking to God about somebody else, you know what that means? You're bringing other people into that faith connection. And so the compassion here was Jesus looked at people, he saw their need, and here's the Son of God who created the whole world, and he says, we need to pray, guys. How many believe if Jesus needed to pray, we need to pray? Yeah. Guys, here's these people, my heart's full. I can't get to all of them, I can't do everything. We need to pray, and I want you to see what he prays for. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest. So this all feeds on itself. You know what happens in my life? Okay, man, I get fired up. I see the commission for what it is. I see Jesus for who he is. I see the lost for who they are. I see me for what I'm called to do. And now I'm in it. I'm in it. So now I'm looking at the calendar. Where's my personal opportunity? Okay, here at work. Okay, here at the neighborhood. Okay, here. Oh, okay. And here's my partnership opportunity. Okay, church has this on their calendar. I'm going to go. I'm going to be part of it. And then I go to VBS. And I'm like, there's 200 kids here. Guess what? That'll motivate you to pray for laborers to come into the harvest real quick. But you know what? You're never praying for those things because you don't get it if you're not in it. I guarantee you, all the workers in VBS this week are going to be praying starting right now for laborers next year because they know all that goes into it and where maybe there were deficiencies and where maybe it'd be nice to have another pair of hands setting up, cleaning up, designing, doing this, that, or the other thing. And single moms oil change. And the mission, you know where we start sending missionaries out of our own church to plant churches in America and around the world? It's when we get involved with our missions program here and we get on mission trips and our eye affects our heart and we see the multitudes and we have compassion and we say, I got to do something. And I got to pray that God, where I can't, that God will send more people to do stuff. Pray for our own effectiveness. Pray for the effectiveness of others. Pray that God will send more laborers into the harvest. Do you have compassion for people? The kind of compassion that has you pray for them. This goes all the way back to our first points, our personal opportunities. You're only going to have the opportunities you pray for. Can I tell you, on times that I pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to connect with somebody, there's never a shortage of opportunities to connect with somebody. Where I'm about my own self and I'm eating my Whopper and not really concerned with the will of God, I won't ever see an opportunity. So pray for those opportunities. That list of people I asked you about, maybe there's 25 on your list. Maybe there's 50 on your list. Maybe you're more popular than I am. People like you better. So there's 50 people on your list. Are you praying over them? Are you having compassion on them? Are you praying that even other people are sent into the labor of these people you're caring for? Maybe another coworker who's saved. Maybe another neighbor who's saved. Maybe another family member who's saved. So you can partner with them in the partnership opportunity. You see how all this starts to connect? You see how all this starts to reframe our mind around this commission and how we interject ourselves into the responsibility of this sowing, watering, and reaping? It's so important. All right, well, we've covered in our class so far connecting with the commission, connecting with the cultivation. Next week, we're going to start connecting with the conversation. How do we talk to people about Jesus? And I'm going to frame one particular positioning because I think it can be utilized across the board, and it's the way I think Jesus approached the topic of sharing faith. So predominantly, we're going to work through that. But I want you to come with your questions, too. I'm sure some of you have questions about, how do I interact in this way? I'm dealing with this situation. How can I voice my faith in this situation? Here's a person that believes this. How can I, you know, deal with this kind of issue? How do I walk me through how to even share my faith? And we'll go through how you can open up the Bible and share your faith. But we're going to get into the conversation next week. And we're going to start talking about what that should look like real time in our life every day and really try to equip you with how to have those gospel conversations. All right? Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, God, we are so thankful for the opportunity to look into your word and to be led by your spirit in this very important aspect of sharing our faith. Help us to not be shy or timid. Help us to be confident, not in ourselves, but in your truth and in your spirit and in who you are. Help us to be faithful as you've called us to be. And we'll thank you so much for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.